I've been thinking recently about something that I feel is very important, and we kind of spoke on it in that last song where something stuck out to me. It says that he's coming for his faithful few. And I was thinking about that, and my thought tonight is about faithfulness. What does it mean to be faithful? What was that? Ready and willing. Thank the Lord. You know, I think about it, and the Lord wants us to be faithful, but He doesn't ask us to be faithful all by ourselves. What does He do? He's faithful first. And so I was thinking about this word faithful and what does it mean, and so I looked it up, and this is some of the definitions that I came up with. To be faithful is to be firm, to be sure, a support like a pillar, reliable, permanent. Do we value faithfulness? Do we like for somebody to be reliable, trustworthy? What I really like is permanent, a pillar, immovable. When I was thinking about faithfulness, I was thinking about when I was younger, we took a trip, and not really sure where it's at. I think it's in Yellowstone Park or something that they call Old Faithful. And it's a spring that shoots up. And what's amazing is that thing has been shooting up for 135 years, I think it was. I looked it up. And it's faithful. I want to say they had a clock on it for when it was going to spew. And that's why they call it Old Faithful. And so a verse that comes to mind when I think of faithfulness is in Psalms 15. Just one little verse, and I can't explain it, but when I read this verse, it's inspiring. It's challenging. It's powerful. I don't really know how else to explain it, but Psalms 15:4, it says, that's not the right one. No, it is. Psalms 15:4, it says, in whose eyes the vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. That last portion of that scripture, I don't know why, but it just inspires me. Because to me, that is somebody that is faithful. They're going to stand on what they've said. It says that they'll swear and to their own hurt. So it's like saying that a person will say, you know what, I'll be there. And then they find out that circumstances came up and things happened and it was going to be very hard and painful to make it, to be there, to be faithful. But they go ahead and they do it anyway. You know, maybe it costs some money, maybe it costs some pain or travail or whatever. But they stand faithful and they do it anyway. And to me, that's character. I look at that and I say, you know what? That's why I love it. That's character. That's somebody that you can look to and say, you know what? I appreciate that. And so when I think of faithfulness, who is more faithful than God? Like I said before, He doesn't ask us to do anything that He's not willing to do Himself, and He does it first. He tells us to love our enemies. He did it first. He loved us when we were against Him, when we weren't serving Him, and we weren't even really thinking about Him. He loved us and cared for us. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, appreciate your prayers. Pray that the Lord will help me. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." You know that that is something that's encouraging and comforting, to know that God changes not. He's the same. And He'll always be the same. And what's comforting in that is that He's faithful in that. Immovable, permanent, sure. You know what you're going to get with God. He doesn't change. If it's wrong today, it's wrong tomorrow. And it'll be wrong 10 years from now. Because God doesn't change. He's the same. Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, changes not. To me, that is faithful. You can rely upon the Lord. And we heard a message the other day that the holding on to the promises. Hold on to what the Lord has said and what He's promised. How can we do that? How can we hold on to His promises? Because He's faithful. If He said He's going to do it, He's going to do it. If He's promised it and it's He spoke it, you can rely upon it. You can trust it. You can set your life upon it. The faithfulness of God. Deuteronomy 7. We're going to start at verse 9. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." Don't we love that verse? Doesn't that just warm your heart that the Lord keeps covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations? We can trust Him. We can depend upon Him. It goes on to say, "And repayeth them that hate Him to their face to destroy them." Uh-oh. He's still faithful. You know, I was thinking, I believe it was during the wedding, it was saying, "Blessing and cursing I set before you. Choose blessing. Choose life." Why is that? Because God is faithful. He's faithful to bless us. He said it, that He would bless us with mercy. But there's a contingency there. He says, to those who love Him and keep His commands. He's also faithful to destroy. It's the same faithful God. We can't have half of them. God is faithful, and I'm thankful that He is faithful, but He's also faithful to bring judgment to those who forsake Him. He says, "Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which He sware unto thy fathers. And He will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thy oil, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep and the land which He sware unto thy fathers to give thee." The Lord has promised great things for us. Blessings, plenty, He's faithful. You know that we can trust the Lord. We heard another scripture. I can't remember when it was, what message it was, but I think it might have been in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Not to fret about things. Because the Lord knows what we have need of. He knows what we need. He knows that we need to eat. He knows that we need clothing and shelter. He knows all of these things. We can trust Him. We can put our faith in Him, and He's reliable. You know, there's many promises in the Scriptures. This whole Bible is full of God making declarations and promises to us and to those who forsake Him, for that matter. And so I just wanted to pull out a few for us to look at today. 1 John 1:9. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know that God is faithful to forgive your sins. You know that you don't have to wonder or fret about it and think, well, you know what, this is worse. This is too much. He says that He is faithful. If you will confess, own up to it, He will forgive. You know, that's a wonderful promise. That's a promise of salvation. That's a promise of deliverance. You don't have to be in bondage to your past. You don't have to be in bondage to what you've done. You can be free of it and made clean and washed in the blood of the Lamb. He died to cleanse us and free us from our sins. And it says that He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. We don't have to wonder about that. We don't have to guess at it. But we can take God at His word that He is faithful and He's going to accomplish what it is that He said He would do. But we also have to realize that in His Word, there are conditions. He says that we need to confess. And He's faithful to forgive. There's another scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is a scripture that I think about quite often. And that it's just one of those scriptures that is a promise that I hold to and trust in. And the Lord has been faithful to fulfill. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But what? God is faithful. Thank the Lord that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You know, the Lord is not leaving us to defeat. He's not leaving us to flounder in our sin. And He's not leaving us incapable or unable to serve Him in the capacity that He's asked us to. It says that He's faithful and won't allow us to be tempted above that which we are able. I take confidence in that. Because when I'm tempted, it lets me know that I can withstand. That I don't have to yield. I don't have to give in. I don't have to be defeated by the enemy. The Lord has given me victory. The Lord has given me strength and ability to withstand the temptation, no matter what that temptation might be. This is a promise from the Lord. And what? God is faithful to fulfill His promises. We can trust on it. We can stand upon it. We can set our lives upon it. When you're beset by the enemy and he's seeking to destroy you, know that God is faithful And that He's not leaving you alone, that you're not all by yourself, but that He's with you and He will see you through it. Trust the Lord. Trust His faithfulness. There's another scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. You know, the Lord has called us to be sanctified. He's not just calling us to be forgiven of our sins. There's more to it than that. There's more involved in serving God and in salvation than just being forgiven. I've been in that place before where I thought I just wanted forgiveness. I just wanted to be okay with God. But the Lord said, no, that's not enough. His word says it's not enough. The Lord wants us to be holy and pure. This scripture says that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. You know, for a long time I thought that I had to achieve my own sanctification. That I had to work to get it. Somehow I had to find strength within myself to overcome. But the Lord revealed it to me that it's by faith. Faithful is He that calls you, who also will do it. The Lord will sanctify you wholly. The Lord will purify you. It says that He will create in you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. God is faithful to fulfill this in our lives. And there, like I said, there's promise after promise. He said He would not leave us nor forsake us. We can trust Him. We can depend upon Him because God is faithful. So what does it mean for us to be faithful? You know, the Lord, He's proven His faithfulness to us. He's shown us that He's faithful. You can look through the scriptures and see examples of His faithfulness. When Israel was at the brink of destruction, the Lord stepped in numerous times to deliver them. So what does it mean for us to be faithful? You know, a lot of times I pray that the Lord will help me to be faithful to Him as He has been faithful to me. And I know that that is a high request, so to speak. Because the Lord's faithfulness is immense, you know. But that is my prayer, is that I would be dependable to the Lord. That He can rely upon me. When He can ask me to do something and I'll be faithful. I'll be sure. You know, I think about his situation with Job, and he told Satan, look at my servant Job, how he's faithful. The Lord knew that He can rely upon Job. I want to be faithful, unwavering, firm, dependable unto the Lord. Permanent. Not wishy-washy, not here and there, but permanent, established, firm in the faith. Hebrews chapter 10. Let us draw near, this is verse 22, with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. So this is part of how we can be faithful unto the Lord, and that we hold fast the profession of our faith, unwavering, immovable. You know, I was thinking about how God is sure. He's unchanging. He doesn't change. And so I was thinking, and I felt like the Lord brought the thought to my mind that His church does not change either. It's firm. It's sure. It doesn't change. It doesn't waver or go back and forth. 1 Timothy 3 and 15. He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." You know, I was thinking about this scripture, and the church is the pillar, the firm, immovable, permanent fixture that doesn't change. You know, I think of those faithful few, reliable ones, the ones that you know are going to be there. In the hottest battle, you know they're there. The faithful few. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. We are the lights of the world. Being faithful would be to shine as a light, a true light. Our faithfulness isn't just in what we believe. It's not just that we have a correct doctrine. It's more than that. Like we heard this morning, it's a living word. What good is it if we're not living it? Our faithfulness is that we live the truth. We stand upon the truth, we uphold the truth, and we live the truth as lights in the world. The pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Corinthians 4. We're going to read verse 1 to 2. It says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And I was thinking of another scripture while we were singing, and how Paul told him, I believe he said, to teach the doctrine, and I don't want to butcher it. Maybe someone can help me, where he says that, and to give it to others also, or faithful ones, to teach the scriptures. It's not just one person, but it's each one passing it down to a faithful one who is going to give the doctrine faithfully. The reason why I was thinking about that is I've thought recently about all the splits that have taken over, I don't know how many years, you know, just in the last 100 and some years, you know, the splits. And something the Lord showed me in that is, you know, people can look on and say, well, which side is right, you know? But the Lord was saying, you know what? One side did not change. One side was fixed and sure and permanent, unwavering, unmoving. If there was a split, it was usually a side that changed on something. And what's very interesting is a lot of times that change was a very small change. Something that you would say is insignificant or unimportant or trivial. But you know that that trivial thing did not stay trivial, because that change did not stay small. I feel like once you start to drift, God doesn't move. He's immovable. He's unchanging. He's sure. He's fixed. And so when we drift, it just gets us further away from Him. And that small little drift, that small little insignificant thing, the next thing you know, they've gone wild. And they've given up on numerous things that they once held dear. And I've seen it in people's lives that are close to me. It started small, insignificant, like it didn't really matter. And, you know, I hear that and it does matter. It matters a lot. Because what it does is it's a heart of doing things your own way. It's a heart of doing things what you think is right or what you imagine to be okay. And that is going to take you along a bad path. Because if you're all of a sudden the one that's making the decisions about what is right or what is sure or what is good before God, you never know where you're going to end up.
2 Timothy 2:2 is
the scripture. Thank you. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You know, there's a place where Paul speaks of Timothy and he says, there's no man like-minded. You know, I'm sending Timothy to you because I trust fully and faithfully in him that he's gonna give you what I've given to him. And this scripture here is the same as he's saying, look, what I've committed unto you, commit to faithful men who will give it to others also. That the truth would stand firm and that the church would be a pillar, immovable, unchanging. God's church does not change just as He does not change. Titus 1:9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. That is our job as a church, to represent God and His faithfulness by being faithful, by being unchanging, by upholding His promises and His truth and His word. Psalms 12:1. This scripture here is somewhat of a, I guess it's not somewhat, it is. It's a grievous scripture. Because I believe it's being acted out. And has been. May the Lord help us. Psalms 12:1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. I pray that the Lord will help us to give His word to faithful ones. I pray that we would inspire one another to be faithful, to be firm, to be sure, and not try to cut corners. Those things that we call small things or insignificant things. You know, I believe I was talking to Brother Doug the other day, and or it was, maybe it was my father-in-law. And I don't know if you all remember the prophet that came before one of the soldiers. The Lord had given him a word to say, and he told the soldier, "Smite me." And the soldier says, "I'm not going to smite you." And he says, "Okay." And he gave him the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord said that he was going to fall dead, or a lion was going to consume him or something, you know. And he comes to the next guy and he says, "Smite me." And so the guy just went and hauled off and smote him. And it was part of the message that he had. But I was thinking about that, and you know, the Lord wants us to be obedient to His word. He doesn't care if we understand it. He doesn't care if we have it all put together, and He just wants us to trust Him and follow His word and be faithful. That little thing cost the man his life because he wasn't obedient unto the word of the Lord. Psalm 78. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and kept not His testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked Him to anger with their high places and moved Him to jealousy with their graven images. Unfaithful. Why were they unfaithful? Because they kept not the testimonies of the Lord. You know, I think about those small things. If they really were so small, then they wouldn't be significant to you, right? If it's really small or really doesn't matter, then why be on the opposite side of it? Why allow it to be a wedge of rebellion or a pressing against the truth if it really is a small thing? It's sad, but a lot have drifted off over small things. And many of them haven't made it back. But I pray that the Lord will help us to be faithful and true and unmovable and unshakable and firm in the faith, grounded and settled, that we would be reliable, that we would exhibit the Word of God in truth and be lights to the world. I thank God for His faithfulness, and I pray that the Lord would help me to be faithful. Pray for me.